not sitting here denying the fact that their attendance is an issue.
It's not great.
I'm not remotely denying that. But I am going to state unequivocally, in my opinion, that I think it's overblown.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you.
I am going to state unequivocally, in my opinion, that it is overblown. But speaking of Dynamite, let's talk a little Dynamite, shall we?
Yeah.
Shall we?
I enjoyed Dynamite a lot. Let's do it.
The IWGP World Heavyweight Champion. You know, we had 5 days there where a member of the Shield was not a champion in this business.
That's weird.
And what a cold 5 days it was. I didn't know how we were going to survive. And John Moxley said, "Hold my blade."
He did say that.
Because.
Sounds like something you would say.
He defeated Naito for the IWGP World Championship. Very historic prize in this business.
Very, very. The International Wrestling Grand Prix, I believe.
Yes.
See, I pay attention.
So, here's the interesting part. John Moxley returned. He's going to have a match with Will Hobbs next week. But he's also kind of, he's going to, I don't want to say this term, but it sounds like going to be kind of part-time AEW while he is IWGP World Champion.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think that's going to be too terribly long. My guess, McCarthy, my guess is this, and let me know what you think. I feel like they did it because he can drop the belt probably back to Naito at Forbidden Door.
He could do it at Forbidden Door. Or, I mean, I guess it just depends how long they want him to be champion. I would assume if I'm not going to assume.
Sure.
If it were me,
yeah,
you're champion through the summer at least. Because they've really started doing more shows outside of California. I mean, Chicago last week. So, I think you can use John Moxley to draw a bigger American wrestling audience to your shows.
It's certainly getting me to stay
up. So, I think, I mean, it's that old, whenever you start a new championship, even though it's, you know, the lineage goes back forever, and it's one of the most prestigious championships in the world of wrestling, the people that don't know the history or very American in the wrestling that they watch, or very one branded in the wrestling that they watch because AEW still doesn't advertise enough. But I don't know. But I don't, because I don't see a lot of Raw or SmackDown commercials unless it's on the channel that it's on.
Yeah.
And Bischoff has bitched about that. And I'm like, but wait, I don't see fucking Raw or SmackDown commercials on fucking Disney Plus or my Netflix that T-Mobile pays for, so I have to watch commercials, but I mean, it's free Netflix, so it's 1999 again.
That may start when you get Netflix on WWE on Netflix, pardon me. You may see some of those ads. Who knows?
Maybe. But I don't know, I'm just curious.
On my way to the show here.
Wrestling is so hard to market, and I don't know how you do it right. Because it's the most diverse group of fandom out there, I would say.
Yep.
From all over the world. Wrestling is a universal language.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, if you compare the fandom to like Marvel or whatever, well, there's a very select few that are loud, that grew up on comics and don't know what they're talking about for whatever reason, and you're never going to reach, the audience isn't as broad. There's this one audience that you're shooting after, and hopefully you get some stragglers from them talking about it, right? But, you know, wrestling, you got, you know, deep southern over here, you know, Boston, Massachusetts over here, California over here, Midwest over here, then you Canada, Mexico, you factor everything in. It's like, well, shit, what show do I put this on? Like, what show do I need to spend my money to put an advertisement during their commercials? Like, I think that It's a hard decision. Yeah, I've never had to have that conversation, so I don't know how that would go.
And frankly, that's trouble. That's troublesome also for every booker in the business, from Tony Khan to now Triple H to Vince McMahon until just a couple of months ago. Because you're trying to appeal to everybody, and that's hard to do. Because think about it, and this isn't to politicize anything, but, I mean, red states love wrestling. Blue states love wrestling. I'm talking about people that wouldn't, let's just say they're not going to be your first dinner invite.
They would
all
have
sit together.
A knockout drag out on Twitter
over
their political views, but
they
will cheer for the same exact person
at a
wrestling event.
At the wrestling show. And so that's a challenge of this business. But going back to New Japan, remember, they were pre-COVID, they were looking to expand into the U.S. market in a big way. That's where, like, New Japan Strong and all those things, they were looking to make and so maybe they're starting to build that back up.
I feel like I read they were going to, it seems like they are. I mean, if you put your title on Jon Moxley, I mean, nothing, it's fucking Jon Moxley, so I'm not bitching, but I mean, he is an AEW wrestler. It's a New Japan championship. Yeah, I'm trying to bring people to my shows and to buy New Japan World to watch other stuff and maybe spend more money on premium events. And yeah, I'd do it. And through the summer, because that's when everybody's most active and most out.
Ryan says he enjoyed the pre-show snap.
Yes,
absolutely. We did send you a snap. And
that was fun.
He said he'll be at Raw on Monday. He will be there.
Cool.
I'll be there as well, Ryan. I'll be there as well, hanging out with Big Cody Larson. Looking forward to that. And
sorry, I like to drive. I'm waiting for SummerSlam.
I hear you. Oh, I hear you. I'll tell you what I'm really waiting on. I'm waiting on an AEW show to come near town.
I know.
Like, in the state, period.
Like, fuck, man.
It's
going to really piss me off when they do something 5 states away for Blood and Guts 2 weeks out again like last year. Like, can we not do that, please? I would really appreciate that. You broke my streak, and it was your fault because you didn't give me time to plan. I know they don't listen, and no one's listening at this point because I'm bitching about nonsense.
Yeah, got you.
They fucking shut that shit off. This dude's stupid.
Well, no. It's just we like to rant. We like to rant and rave and do it all. I don't know how I feel about Jon Moxley being IW. Like, I think it's cool. I think it's really cool. But my issue is this. I think AEW needs him more right now.
Yeah, it was. There was definitely a much different feel last night.
A different vibe. Knowing that
Jon Moxley there.
That the wild thing himself, the Death Rider, was in attendance. So what do you think about that?
I don't think you're wrong.
I'm usually not.
But
not
I think Will Ospreay, I think, has the ability to be that guy.
Ospreay.
So they just need to stick to what they're doing with him. John's earned the opportunity to be able to go out and do this. I mean, he's been the in emergency break glass guy for like 4 years for AEW. He's earned the opportunity to, and you're right. It sucks. AEW needs him more. There was a hole for a month when he was not there, for sure. But he's also earned the opportunity to be able to go out and do this and represent New Japan and AEW in the best light that you can. He's going to have some violent, bloody matches. I can't wait to see him and Will Hobbs.
Jon Moxley going to be Will Hobbs. Next week, going to face him on AEW television. So it looks like Mox is going to try to somehow essentially do both.
That's why I said I think it's all for attendance and New Japan World buys, because I don't see him going, never mind, it's Jon Moxley. He'll go to Japan and wrestle in America the next day. But it would be easier if
he's
going to
be a time traveler, essentially.
Yeah, essentially. But it would be easier on him if he just kind of stayed in America and did circuits for New Japan there,
because
Tony and New Japan, obviously, they have good relationships, so it's like, hey, we're taking Mox for 2 months.
Because the BCC clearly cares so much about what's good for their health.
Well, that's why I corrected my statement.
I'm going to say this respectfully. The BCC are morons when it comes to their health.
They are insane.
They are absolutely
And you know what? Nuts. I love them for it.
Yeah.
I love them for it.
They're absolutely nuts.
It's awesome.
They are absolutely, entirely nuts because, well, I mean, how much more can you do?
I don't know. They're always on the shows. They're wrestling at Collision. They're wrestling at Dynasty.
They're
wrestling on Dynamite.
And then
they never stop.
Let's go to Japan. Like, well, can we not? Can we just take a second? Can we just rest? And to their credit, I mean, they obviously love this business more than most, right? But
yeah.
It's really interesting to Jon Moxley. He's wrestling. He'll be Friday, May 3rd in Japan.
Damn, buddy.
So yeah,
hell yeah. Love it,
man.
Jon Moxley.
Just good luck there. Good luck there, Jon.
Have fun, Jon. We love you. You're the best.
TBS champion Julia Hart and Brody King defeated TNT champion Adam Copeland Will Nightingale. All right, let me tell you what I didn't like about this. So, Ryan, I hope you're listening.
Oh. Okay.
I hate this. This is a wrestling pet peeve of mine. Don't advertise it as something, and it ends up nowhere neat being that.
There was a tag.
Eh.
It was there.
This was mostly a one-on-one.
It was a foot tag. The blindest of blind tags.
This was mostly.
Right in the middle of the Hulk
this
spot.
This was mostly a Brody
tag.
King, Adam Copeland one-on-one match. Nothing wrong with that.
It was.
Nothing wrong with that. But it was advertised as a mixed tag match. Will and I can go, Julia Hart.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what key I'm holding. But
that was key. Jason's key.
It was not that. It was that at the very end, for half a second, do a dollop of Daisy.
That's fair. But it was.
It happened. I just. And then Adam Copeland, whom I'm a big fan of, as you know.
Yeah.
Big fan of Adam Copeland.
Who's not?
There's a few.
Oh.
You know, he's lost to.
That's sad.
You know, some people. Well, you know, and God love you folks, but there's some people that I don't want to say lost respect, but they've lost interest in him due to going to AEW.
Why?
I guess he worked for the wrong three letters in their view, I assume.
I mean, I guess, because I'll tell you what. The difference between Edge and Adam Copeland is what he wears. I love Adam Copeland. He's one of the greatest ever, but he's not exactly a reinvention dude. He's got a different spin. He might be a little more vicious because he's able to be in AEW as far as WWE is concerned. But I still see that guy in the long jacket, the sunglasses, and the blonde-ass hair because he's 22.
Why not?
Every time. And that's cool. He made it work. I'm not complaining. But he didn't change a thing. Why did you turn on him? It doesn't make sense.
Would you agree, though, there's been a portion of his fan base that has turned on?
Probably. I don't know. I don't pay attention to the Twitterists.
I hate it. They've at least, like I said, they've at least lost interest in the sense of just not following his career. In my estimation, I don't know. I just think if you're going to advertise a mixed tag match, make it a mixed tag match.
I mean, that's fine. You can. But, I mean.
What'd you think of this?
I thought it was fine. Adam Copeland and Brody King were absolutely fantastic. That side crossbody into the barricade. I thought the match was great. I mean, I think they were trying to do a lot of things, but it makes me nervous for Sunday. Because,
why?
Well, I think they're trying to keep Julia Hart hot, but I haven't heard if she's, like, still medically cleared yet. Like, completely. To be in a full match, but she's booked for Sunday against Willow, so they're trying to keep it going, hoping she can get cleared to do a match on Sunday, and they're trying to do the Valiant baby face, just hanging on long enough for their partner to come out, because I did think it was weird because it was an intergender match that they kept it a tag match when Willow was attacked. Because now I'm expecting something heelish. Like,
the rules of an intergender match are if Julie Hart can't tag in, why are you there?
Yeah. So and it didn't take the enjoyment of the match out, but in the middle of the match I'm like, why doesn't Julia just tag in? She tags in, count out. We win. See you later. Like, I know then you can't do the angle at the end and all this, that, and the other, but that's a bit of a break in the psychology.
Yeah, that's I think what should have happened there, if for some reason Julia Hart is still not cleared, then, I don't know, have Tony or some Tony is the on-air authority figure, so Tony quickly go, I don't know, come on in real quick from Grill and go, all right, we'll just do one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, it's just quick, even if it had been awkward, 30 seconds of, all right, one-on-one, and you still can run the same angle.
You can, but you can't. You can't do the hot tag. You can't do the heel victory.
But the hot tag, you could have
easily. Look, I popped.
You could
I popped when Willow made that
you
tag.
You could have. I'm not.
I popped.
Well, good for you.
I thought it was great.
I couldn't agree.
I love Willow Nightingale. I was into it,
I'm
man.
I'm not knocking
Willow. It was great.
Willow's great. She's a unique look.
Like,
she's,
I went through that.
Different.
I went through that one point, like, why doesn't she just tag in? And then I got sucked back into the match because of what Brody and Adam were doing. And I was like, all right, so the gimmick of the match is that Edge has to do all this by himself. And it's slight interference from Julia because she can. She's technically still in the match. And then, like, the business of the match was to further the House of Black feud, especially with Julia and Willow Nightingale, because they've been apart for a couple weeks. Like, they've barely been involved in the same things.
Here's what you
because
did.
Mercedes Moné's talking.
Oddly.
But
here's what you do in my estimation. You make it a one-on-one match really quick. Julia still manages Brody King. You can have Willow come out and try to get her revenge at the end of the near the end of the match. We're throwing this out. It's not that hard.
But you don't get the heel victory then.
Well, have him dog walk her ass.
The hidden chain punch to the face, the submission hold, you don't get all those
things.
That
hidden chain was such a bad look. She missed
her
by a
mile. She got her right in the face. I don't know what you're talking about.
Missed her by a country mile.
She didn't want to hurt her.
Well, then don't use a chain.
You got to start at some point.
No, this just didn't work.
Well, next time she uses a chain, it'll look better.
How about you run that through, you know, you're all at the building at like 3 o'clock. What are y'all doing, eating cheese and crackers?
Probably. You got to keep your protein,
lazy
your energy.
I just thought this didn't work, and I love Adam Copeland, and I think Brody King's great, and Julia Hart's hot, and I don't mean not that she's not attractive, but she's hot in the sense of she's over.
Mm-hmm.
Willow Nightingale, of course, is unique. I just thought, surprisingly, this didn't work.
I liked it. I was into
it. I
wasn't
feeling it.
I loved it.
Continental
See,
champion,
and we don't always agree either, but yeah, I popped.
Continental champion Kazuchika Okada and the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson.
Yes, I don't even call them the Young Bucks anymore. They're the EVPs.
Defeated Pac, Penta, and Daniel Garcia. I understood what they were going for here. You kind of tease Pac and Okada. You don't have them touch too much. Can I tell you a pet peeve about Pac of mine?
Huh.
And I'm going to sound like Vince here.
Uh-oh.
I hate his hair. I hate his hair. I hate him. It's always in his face. He looks, he's like the human version of one of them Shih Tzu puppies. With the teeth out and the hair's always a mess. It's a shit look.
That's fantastic.
It's a shit look in my estimation. And I know you're saying, you know.
He looks scraggly and mean.
He looks
like he will murder you in the alley.
No, he looks like he's got the little man syndrome because he can't get initiated into the game.
Except he can beat all their asses all at once.
I hate his look. I hate. Tie the hair back. Get it out of your face.
Leave Pac alone.
Get it out of your face. Your face is your moneymaker, you stupid ass.
Not for him.
It is for everybody. Period. Even if you're ugly.
It's fair. It's fair.
It's your moneymaker.
You can see it.
It's a stupid ass.
But look, he does it to alleviate how far his ears stick out.
I don't give a shit about your ears.
He might.
If you If you're self-conscious about your ears and you're in the wrestling business, you are in the wrong business, homie.
How are we having this conversation?
I'm sorry. I just don't. I found my, because, like, he's doing all these things, and he's trying to look intimidating to Okada. Okada's going up the ramp, and I'm just completely lost because I'm like, look at his hair all in his face like a dumbass. And I like Pac. Like, I love Pac's presentation. It's much better than Vince's Mighty Mouse bullshit.
Ugh. But he started on those stupid gimmicks that he put people in.
But
Shorty G, ring any bells?
That was so stupid it kind of worked.
Because he's that good.
And I have an issue with stupidity on Raw this week. We're going to talk about that.
Cool. I like it when we talk stupidity. It's fun.
But I hate Pac's look because his hair is in his face all the time.
I mean, that's fair, I guess.
It just drives me nuts. I'm like, how are you looking intimidating me when you got hair in your face? Nobody's ever looked to do with the hair in your face. I'm like, yeah, you're a badass. Nobody. Nobody.
On the other side of the coin, though,
all right,
how many people are going to let Daniel Garcia teabag them in the face?
Well,
the selflessness of our EVPs of AEW to take a teabag to the face? You're actually the EVPs of the company. Like, yeah, you're turning it up to 11 and you're being assholes for the gimmick, but, like, it's kind of a big thing. People don't get teabagged in wrestling. I mean, they do, but they don't. Like, the closest you could think of is X-Pac's...
Yeah, Bronco Buster. Bronco,
that's what it's called. What is called the Bronco Buster. That's as close as we ever got. Straight up teabagged. I was like, what? I put it in the notes.
What were your other thoughts on this?
I thought the... keeping Pac and Okada apart until near the end, I thought was done well. I don't think I would have had him touch at all. That would be my one little nitpick. I wouldn't have had him touch at all. I would have had Okada continue avoiding. Because that's what he was doing for half of the match. Okada was avoiding Pac, and it was done through. Because that's something The Rock would do. Grab the fucking the house mic and start doing commentary during your match. And to make it funny. And
Matt has...
Dude, he is... Oh, my God.
Matt has
great.
Way more charisma than Nick, unfortunately.
Yeah, he does. Way more There's charisma. That's always the case. That's why... You know,
he's going to be, when we look back
that's
on the
why
EVPs,
Ed, that's why Adam Copeland,
EVPs, he's going to be the Jeff Hardy, and unfortunately Nick's going to be the Matt Hardy.
Well, that's why Adam Copeland and Christian Cage are so special. They were able to be more, and not to go off course, but sure. They are one of the greatest tag teams of all time,
absolutely.
Right? They tagged together for 2 years. 2 years. And that was it.
Feels like longer enough.
It does, but isn't that crazy? Yeah. That's how good they are. That's how that's why they were both able to, I think, become single stars because they weren't a tag team forever.
You didn't get typecast.
Yes, exactly.
You know, in the same way of an actor gets typecast under a role.
That mic spot was great, and when he was like, "Oh no, put me down."
I really like this direction of the Young Bucks character overall, but especially I think Matt's shining.
Oh yeah, Matthew is definitely the MVP of the EVPs. How has no one ever been as smart as Okada? Did you notice when he had him wrapped in the Rainmaker?
Yep.
And he ducked down so they could deliver the super kick.
Yeah.
That's good psychology. That makes sense. That's real. That's taking real-life psychology into the kayfabe world of pro wrestling.
That's,
because that is
that's
one
the
of
New
the
Japan,
biggest
that's
one of the
New Japan
biggest
influence.
Tropes in wrestling is, I'm going to duck, and you're going to get hit. And it's in movies. It's one of the biggest tropes of filmed entertainment.
I will tell
you. And it was just that simple. And I was like... No fucking way. No way. He's so smart.
I would tell anybody. I would tell anybody on this planet right now that the closest you're going to get to wrestling being quote-unquote real is New Japan Pro Wrestling. I believe that.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Because they have some comedy, but it's very limited.
Oh, very limited. What's his name? I forget. It's like one main dude, but I haven't watched it, so I can't remember.
It's very limited, and so I'm telling you, like, the biggest comedy spot that you, like, even the announcers aren't too comedic. There's some here and there. The most regular comedic spot is when Dick Togo comes off the top rope and hits him in the groin, and they call it dick-to-dick contact. And that's just, to me, that's humorous.
And just so you can see, I took this note.
Really? You think so? Scapegoat, I love your work.
That Jack Perry returns on Sunday to cost FTR. I just wanted to show you, so it wasn't something that I came up with today. This was right in the middle of the match. I'm like, yeah, this is what needs to come next. Not to interrupt the New Japan talk.
But yeah, I thought Okada doing that, I thought that's the New Japan influence. Because, again, the most logical wrestling you'll see in terms of what they're doing in the ring. Now, it's hard to judge because we can't really judge the promos and all that because I don't speak Japanese.
That's fair.
But as far as what I watch in the ring, the most logical wrestling is 9 times out of 10, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. You know, some people have issues with their elbow spots back and forth, but how is that any different than super fast punches back to back for 2 minutes?
Boom, he got him.
Yeah, it's great.
I
do have one note about the, because I hated this. I loved Joe's promo. I loved it. Loved everything about that, except how it was filmed.
It looked like we were looking
What are we doing?
It looked like the Hunger Games.
If you're going to do that, fucking multicam it. Yeah. Don't use one camera. I would have, like, so you come in, zoomed on Renee. She introduces Samoa Joe. As you zoom out, you stay in that position until Samoa Joe is at the finish of his promo, and you zoom in, and that's all you have to do. They tried to do too much. I mean, sure, look, we're broadcasters. We try new stuff all the time. Sure. So I'm not bitching. So I get trying something new, trying to give it a new look, trying to make it not such a static shot for so long. Because he did talk for a long time. But when you move a camera like this, it kind of messes up the whole interview. If you want to do that, just multicam that shit. It's not like you don't have the equipment for it, which makes it easier on your people.
Yeah, I don't know what they were going for. To me,
I don't either.
It took me back to, because back when this was first released, it was a new style of filming. The bounty filming style of the original Hunger Games. Remember when that first came out? That was new, and how they kind of filmed it. And it was bouncing up and down and all that.
I missed that craze. I think I watched it, but not really.
And that's what I'm like, what? Hold! Tighten up!
Yeah, I'm like, whoa, please stop. I'm
getting nauseous here. Kevin
did it again.
Kevin Dunn, is that you? Is that you? Did we hire the Dunster?
And then they did it all again with Swerve and Renee.
So hopefully they go back and review that footage and go, that don't work.
Yeah, like I'm not trying to bitch at them. Like, good job. A for effort trying to figure out something new, but don't do that. Don't. Yeah. Adam would have yelled at us.
Oh, yeah.
Adam would have yelled at us.
Oh, yeah.
Straight up. 100%. What the fuck are you doing? Yeah. This would have came through the headset. What the fuck are you doing?
Get it together, bud. Yeah, he'd be not sure what's going on there, but
it's not 420. What is wrong with you?
I've gotten a couple lectures in the year. Why are you saying that? I don't know. One time I got way on we had an O'Charlie's ad, and I got way on the big buffalo chicken sandwich. Mm-hmm. And he was
enough about the chicken sandwich.
And I'm like,
yes, sir.
That's the best.
If he'd have put a damn it, I'd have known what it's like working for Vince. he wouldn't take that as a compliment. Taz brokered a meeting between your boy, Because you're the king of the Jerichoholics.
I'm pretty sure I am, and I might be one of the few Jerichoholics still left.
You're one of the few in the crowd at this point.
I will never give up on Jericho, even when the crowd doesn't want to react to him. He's my dude.
Your boy and Hook.
Yeah.
The cold, hard, and handsome devil whose face we could not see.
And they haven't said that for a while. I love how they didn't want to pay Doritos.
Clearly.
So, turn that bag inside out. What are we doing? I know it was a Doritos bag.
Yeah.
I could see the red inside.
The red, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you did this one with Doritos out front.
I thought this was a pretty good segment, all things considered. A couple of nitpicks. Allow me. I'm nitpicking on people's look, and I understand I'm a fat handicapped guy from Columbus. Like, it's not lost on me. I'm not in a position to judge people's looks, right? It's not lost on me. So, I understand that. But, Hook, take the fucking beanie off. We can't see your eyes.
He likes it.
And I think that's fine, but for the intensity he was going for when he gets a hold of Jericho, right? I need to see your eyes tell me that, like, this is serious. And we can't. It looked like we were looking at Cousin Ed off the Addams Family.
I mean, I guess that's fair. I could still feel the intensity. It would have been better.
And I'm not gonna lie to you. When I saw his breath blowing Jericho, I thought, "Damn, that's a lot of Dorito that Jericho's getting right now." Because that's got to be fresh.
Stupid son.
And so I thought number one, take the beanie off when, like, I don't mean like the entire segment.
But when it's time to get down, take that shit off.
When it was time to clutch Jericho by the jacket and be like, cross the line. I need to see your eyes telling me and him that he crossed the line.
That's fair.
And so I didn't like that. Because I understand that Hook's character is a real chill, you know, but not to be fucked with guy. And so I get that. But then when it's time to get serious for a second. So I didn't dig that. It looked to me like they were teasing Taz Mission for the first several minutes. Because the way the camera was even shooting, and you could see Taz slightly behind Jericho, I thought they were looking for Taz Mission. I was like, we're going to get one, old school style, let's go. Taz with 1Z, baby. I liked that... I thought that what the hell's his name? I'm literally drawing a blank. Tip of the tongue syndrome, brother. You ever hear of that? I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Give me the commentator with the mask. As soon as you say it, I'll know.
Excalibur.
Yeah. Why couldn't I think of that? Excalibur.
Because he is so good at his job.
I appreciate what he was going for by telling us about Taz's knee issues. I appreciated that. But at the same time, again, minor nitpick here. I thought Taz was selling too much like a referee unless, like, you're still Taz.
It was definitely a ref bump sell, but, you know.
I've watched you break your neck and continue to wrestle. I'm not saying you're that same guy, but, like, you're still in there somewhere.
But to be fair, he's had a knee injury lately, and it's really hard to get up when your knee hurts. Imagine if it's injured and not just hurt. That would be rough. Those ropes are tight, those steel cables.
This is a guy that has broken his neck like twice.
That was a long time ago.
This is a guy that broke his neck like twice.
Look, it's fine.
And so I just thought that was a bit of a... I'm not saying you got to get physical. I thought Jericho did a good job of not completely overselling the whoa across the line factor. I thought he wrote a nice lightning bolt at the end as he's walking out, where he kind of begrudgingly acknowledges, yeah, that was too far, but, like, you're really missing my point. I thought Jericho did a wonderful job there. She's kind of like, you're not getting what I'm saying, and he's not getting what I'm saying. Like, I'm not trying to be violent here. It's that I'm Chris Jericho. I can help you, and you're missing my point.
Yeah.
So I thought Jericho did a nice job riding the lightning bolt. I liked that a lot. I liked that he's slowly, seemingly turning heel. I don't know where this is going, to be honest with you. And that makes me, I'm kind of excited that I can't see it. Because it looked like we were going to, for a minute there, for 2-3 weeks ago, I'm thinking, so we're going for a Sting and Darby with Jericho and Hook?
Thank God we're not.
Which is what we both kind of thought.
Yeah, but I mean, and Jericho's done that since he wasn't AEW World Heavyweight Champion. So that's why I say, because we don't, was it quick? Could we have told this story a little bit longer and had Hook trust him for a minute? We could have, but that's...
It was quicker than Y2AJ.
But that spits in the face... 2 weeks. That spits in the face of what Hook told Chris a couple weeks ago. I know who you are. Like, I'm not an idiot.
I'm not going to lie to you. I would have liked to have seen them have some success and then... because I just think neither... I think both of them... I know we agree that Jericho needs to take some time off.
Well,
but clearly that ain't happening. So I feel like both Hook and Jericho are a little stagnant right now, and they're kind of stuck. And so I think it would have worked for a couple of months to give them a minor tag run, and then you do a blow-off, and I don't know, have them face it at Wembley.
Look. So no one is going to want to hear this. No one's going to want to hear this.
All right.
This is all... for the betterment of Hook. I know people joke about the Vortex, the Jericho Vortex. Hey, good job bringing that into your promo, buddy. I love it. It's great.
Job.
It's great. Like, this is the... I think the reason why I don't mind that it's going this fast is because... Oh, yeah, that's Chris Jericho. That was Chris Jericho last night. I haven't seen that man. I've seen... Chris Jericho, sure.
Chris Irvine, how you doing,
But
bro?
I haven't seen Chris Jericho on AEW television in a minute. Now he seems more invested, and maybe having Taz a little bit involved, which you've been asking for a while.
Itching.
I'm sure that helped a little bit. It's getting to a point. He has more fun as a heel. He tried to be face. Everybody thought they wanted it, but they didn't. It's the most they've reacted to him, and all it took was a push to Taz, so this is great, but...
Taz forever, baby.
And this is why everyone's going to be mad at me for saying this. He's going to win the FTW championship. So Hook can go on to bigger and better things.
Let's talk about Hook.
And he's going to have a whole bunch of young boys around him, because Jericho loves his factions. And Hook's going to destroy them all.
So you're telling me Jericho's going to start another faction?
He's going to start another faction, and it's going to be the biggest failure of factions. Not like, oh, my God, I hate that faction.
Not Undisputed
But
Kingdom.
If you're going to – well, no, that's not – but that's not like as far as getting over or whatever.
Yeah.
That'll have to be subjective. We'll have to see who's in it. But the whole point of this, Hook should just destroy that faction, because that's what they've made him. I mean, the first time he really got his ass kicked was Joe. Who was the other guy? Shane Taylor. There's not a lot of guys that can say... I know he hasn't wrestled everybody, but Hook normally controls his matches. And those two beat his ass. So it's time for him to move up, but make him the powerhouse babyface, even though he's not 300 pounds. But his wrestling ability... would make it so he can whoop all their asses. Just make it a complete fucking jobber thing. Like, Jericho can win stuff, but everybody else has to get their ass kicked by Hook to push him further up the card.
Well, let's talk about Hook for a second here. I've read the reports, you have too.
Yeah.
That he's considering exploring his options when his contract is due up later this year. Thoughts about that? Concerned about that?
No. It's fine. He should. I think it's smart to test the waters, even if he wants to stay.
I wonder if he goes somewhere else, does Taz go somewhere else? Not that that's like a huge loss at this stage.
I don't think
but,
so. Because, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
But.
Not that that's a huge loss at this point. I'm not knocking Taz's ability at all. He could do more.
Taz is great.
He was doing more in the first 2 to 3 years. I miss Team Taz.
Yeah, I do miss Team Taz.
Team Taz a lot.
Team Taz is starting to get pushed up the card.
You know, and so I'm hoping. Again, and this is no disrespect to Chris Jericho, whose resume is clearly better than Taz's. Like, no
fair.
Shit. No shit. But, like, if Hook's going to have a mentor, I've always thought, why isn't Taz that mentor?
Maybe that's where we're going.
Team Taz, let's ride again, baby.
Just Taz and Hook. Just Taz and Hook. It's fine.
Two good team?
That's fair. But he can't wrestle, probably.
Maybe. Exactly. You never
know anymore.
You never know. I think that what I would like to see, and I've said this before, probably, and who gives a shit? It's our show.
Fair.
I'd like to see what they think. Remember when Taz managed Samoa Joe and TNA for that little bit?
Oh, that was fun.
They should do that with Hook. They should do that with Hook. That right there, Taz Hook. Because Hook's not a great promo cutter yet. Taz is. Taz is a wonderful promo cutter, has been for decades. And you can, I mean, hell, Don Callis sat on commentary for months while he was dealing with Kenny Omega.
He's great on
it's
commentary.
Not like you can't do both. And frankly, they have a gaggle of broadcasters anyway, so if Taz missed a few commentary days, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
It might be. I'm just kidding, it'd be fine.
Like, they have a gaggle
yeah, they
of
have
commentators.
A lot. They have a lot.
Like, if JR's not healthy enough yet to come on back, then call Rick Abani.
Oh, no, he's
it's
on
fine.
A part-time schedule. Like, part-time.
If his,
I do believe that's what he said. He's only getting brought in for the pay-per-views.
Well, he thinks it's probably going to be his last year as a commentator.
That's fine.
You know, we'll see what happens.
Wrestling
has a way of, I thought.
Well,
know?
That's fair. But at the same time, cool. It's all right.
But if he really believes this is his last year as a commentator.
Yeah.
He should do some shows.
He should do some shows, but he has to worry about his health, too.
Oh, health schmelt.
Oh, my God. Here we go again. Look what happened. Look. He's on a very part-time schedule because he pushed himself.
We don't know that that has any bearing.
That's what he said.
Here's
he said
the
traveling and
here.
All that traveling didn't give
people,
his body
people,
a chance
people
to
lie, Jason,
recover.
People lie.
JR doesn't lie.
Oh, he worked for Vince McMahon for 30 years. He's told more lies than you can check his dick at.
Not to me.
No, I love JR.
He's good old JR. He always will be.
You know that I'm being facetious.
The most honest man in the business.
You know, yes, absolutely.
It's probably true.
Actually, yeah. You know that I'm being facetious. But I'll tell you what point would have been better for you, and we'll talk more about this in a bit, is, and I'd like to shake the idiot that did this. And I guess I'd shake Adam Cole, because Adam Cole is off the road because he wasn't healing because the travel was too much.
Yeah, you're not supposed to travel with a foot injury. It's not good for you.
I'd be like, well, I got two foots. That's right. I got two crooked foots, baby.
These motherfuckers.
But
did no one learn anything?
Clearly.
Did we lose one?
So
didn't we lose one for this exact reason?
What do you mean?
Is it Mr. Perfect or somebody? Or no, not Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect overdosed on cocaine. Talking about Von Erich?
It might have been Von Erich.
He lost a foot.
Russell. No.
Pillman?
Yeah, it was. It was Pillman. He didn't take time off. He kept flying in the plane. That's what killed him. No one listens?
No one watches Dark Side
of
the Ring?
No one listens? Because wrestlers have to watch Dark Side of the Ring to know that story. Hey, JR, tell me some stories about Brian. Talks about how funny he is, how crazy he was, and then he's like, well, he died because
Brian.
I do, too.
This Brian, and I wish that Lexus King.
Like, I love the dedication. That's cool.
Yeah.
But we got to learn from the past, guys. We're almost there. Just be careful. I'd rather you be gone for a couple of months than forever.
We'll see what happens with Chris Jericho and Hook. Is Sunday's match for the FTW Championship?
I do believe on the graphic it said for the FTW Championship, which means there are no rules.
Budget up, dude.
Which means he's taking it and he's forming the learning tree.
Jericho Appreciation Society 2.0.
It's the learning tree.
You're sure of that?
He
We're going to call it the learning tree?
It pretty much sounded like it in his promo, and he copywrote those things specifically for sports entertainment.
We're going to have a big dick-looking tree on the T-shirt?
The gym. They're going to take the part of the graphic from the Samoan tree from WWE. They're going to copy that.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea at all. All
right. Deonna Purrazzo defeated Mariah May with Toni Storm and Luther, of course.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this. I'm just already tired of Deonna Purrazzo and Mariah May. And we've watched them like 5 times.
That's true. They've wrestled a lot.
It's
a good match, though.
Because what it reminds me of is final years of the Vince McMahon era, where he would book like the same damn match 3-4 times because he'd be too busy or doing God knows what, as it turns out, maybe.
Who knows?
I guess I shouldn't assume that it was always nefarious. You truly are busy if you're running a company like he was. But whatever he was doing, he would kind of forget that, like, oh, we did just do that last week.
Well, that's because he would tear up the script.
Yeah.
How are you going to remember? How the hell are you going to remember if you're just deciding on it? No, I see your point. I
don't have any issue with it. It's just like we've seen Deonna Purrazzo, Mariah May, and some form of these four. They have been playing hokey pokey. Put your right foot in. You put your right foot.
It was. I'll put it because they've wrestled so many times, and because the whole point was to have Thunder Rosa whoop some ass. It's a really good match for the business of the entire segment. The match was there just so Thunder Rosa could come out and look like the hero leading into Sunday. That's all it was there for. Normally when we see that, it's...
Jeff Larson says we need to turn the sound up a little.
Okay.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. I'll turn down our headphones.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. May I have another, maybe?
Hopefully that's all we need.
Normally, it's blatantly obvious that you're getting to the post-match activities, and it shows in the wrestler's work. I didn't feel that in that match last night, so I thought that was a great job. It really made them, and the crowd was fucking into it, too.
It was
a hot crowd last night. Absolutely,
they were ready. No, I'm a big believer in Mariah May. Mariah May is really making a big step forward in AEW, as is Tiffany Stratton in WWE. Those are my two kind of women to watch of the main companies. That and, of course, Billy Starks, who I'm a huge fan of. So, interesting nonetheless. Will Ospreay defeated Claudio Castagnoli in the main event. I thought for two guys that have never wrestled each other, this was a banger. This was an absolute banger. I would have liked to be a little longer. I would have preferred, and this is no disrespect to Swerve Strickland, and we'll talk about this in a moment, but I would have preferred this go all the way through the overrun. If we're going to be so obsessed with the overrun, I don't know. I think it, you know, and every relationship is different, but I wonder if USA didn't crack down on WWE about the overrun because, like, you're using it every week. Because it's odd that they will not allow it now.
But it's an overrun, but it's not.
What do you mean?
Well, Dynamite technically starts at 8:05. So it's barely even an overrun.
It starts at 8.
Give or take. It depends where you're streaming from.
Well, on cable, it starts right at 8.
It depends. On mine, it always says 8:05 to 10:05. So I don't know. Everything's got to be different now.
Well, John Moxley was right on my television at 8 o'clock.
That's fair.
At least for me on the Spectrum side. I thought this match was great. Like, I mean, these are two of the best in the world. Claudio is the most underrated member of BCC. He was one of the most underrated members of the WWE roster when he was on it as Cesaro. Well, Ospreay might be the best in-ring wrestler on this planet. I have no complaints. My only complaint, if there is one at all, is You know that you're that close to the end of a show for the Swerve Strickland Samoa Joe Brawl. It takes me out of it. Because, like, I know it's 10 o'clock. I know you're getting ready to go off the air. You can't. It's, I don't know how else to put it. There's a little, you know, let me just put it as bluntly as I can. And I don't mean any offense to, if there's any children listening. When you see a Swerve Strickland Samoa Joe come out, Swerve and Nana's coming out at 10 o'clock, that's wrestling's version of a quickie. I know this ain't going to last long.
It wasn't supposed to last long. It's just a brawl.
I know, but I'm saying psychologically, I don't need to know that.
That's fair.
Like, I'm talking about for me as a viewer, I look at the clock, I'm like, it's 10. What are we going to accomplish here?
That's why I don't look at the clock anymore. I try really hard. And,
you know, frankly, don't worry, SmackDown does some. Because anyone that ever watches SmackDown, does anybody ever notice they never go to 10 anymore? It's always 9:56, 9:57. I don't know if Fox is, like, hard out at that point.
It might be.
Because of local news, I have no idea.
That probably has something to do with it with Fox.
Because 9:56.
Because we can't have wrestling interfere with the news. Where are people going to get their news if they don't watch it at 10 o'clock on Fox?
Well, they could wait 60 seconds and watch it at 10:01.
Or your phone.
Well,
it's right here.
Older folks have a harder time.
That's their fault. I know old people that are very good with these because they put in the effort. Sorry. Just calling it like I see it. You put in the effort, you learn things.
That's fair. Any thoughts on the Ospreay-Claudio match? Because you took some notes.
Bruv, this was great.
And then John Moxley got out there. And
we had another very intelligent move that you don't think about all the time, but why don't I see this more often, by Will Ospreay, when Claudio went to Irish whip him into the barricade, and he, like, Assassin's Creed jumped over it. Boy, that's really smart. Why don't we do this more?
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Why didn't
you know, if someone was throwing me at a barricade, yeah, that's probably what I would do. Maybe not everybody, but that's what I would do. I can step over the barricade. I'd have to jump. But, like, it's those little things that gets missed in this hatred, for whatever reason, of either company. And, I mean, they do it to WWE, too. But I'm just like, that two genius things from two of the oldest wrestling tropes in the book, just a little bit of a tweak, and it makes sense for your character. It's great. I love how Claudio controlled the match, but didn't take over. Like, I love the back and forth, but it was clearly Claudio's match.
He was calling it.
Slower paced. Yeah. It was definitely like, okay, I got to learn some new things. Like, I just thought it was really, really well done. And for Don Callis to call it out, too. Like, I think Claudio's got it on points. There was never a point. It was a very much classic back-and-forth match. But there was never a point until the finish that it got, like, high-octane Will Ospreay style. Just enough to put Claudio away. I thought it was really well done.
I love the Don Callis. I don't think during his Kenny Omega run he was very good at this. But during this Don Callis family run, he's really good at knowing when it's time to dial back the character. Mm-hmm. I thought he got a little carried away sometimes with Kenny Omega. And had a hard time. Like, because we know you're a true commentator. You did New Japan for years. You did ECW. Like, there are times when it's time to not be Don Callis.
That was the
mob, whatever guy.
Probably overcompensation, because that is, like, the one part of Kenny Omega's game that needs work is his mic skills, and he's really hard to hate. Everybody knows he's just a really good dude, tries to get along with everybody, and he puts
he
on
got a problem with old Phil.
No, he don't give a fuck.
No issues.
I believe I said that a while ago before he did that, because I listened to Kenny Omega
again. Good tea leaf readers,
but he's really hard to hate. So I think Don was overcompensating to make sure you kept booing Kenny Omega. Doesn't that feel like ages ago that Kenny Omega was the belt collector.
Feels like years. I mean,
like a long time.
That feels like the early days of AEW, and it's really not.
I know, right?
It's only been a year, year
took
and
him
half.
Forever to get that championship. I miss Kenny.
Yeah, hopefully Kenny's getting well.
He's doing all right.
And getting well.
Don't rush. I miss you, but
the other EVP.
It's not safe. No, he's not.
The other EVP.
He's not.
He's not?
He's not.
He's not.
He's not.
He's not.
He's not. That's what he said in that same interview.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not. Because I kind of agree with it's not a big deal. Like, sometimes my first reaction is to fight.
I thought he said he was, but he has no real power.
I'd have to go back and listen again, but I'm pretty sure he said he's not.
Well, we can check that out.
But, I mean, if you have no power, it's basically the same thing as not being one, just your paycheck's bigger because of the EVP thing. To me, it sounded like he's not at all.
So the Young Bucks and Tony Khan are the power structure.
Him and Cody are a lot alike in that way. Like, I thought this would be cool.
This sucks.
I'm done with this. I'm going to go help the women.
So Tony Khan and Young Bucks are the power structure. Well, they're not the only power structure. They have the new CEO. Yeah. And technically, we kind of forget that Jeff Jarrett also has a corporate job.
That's true. And, I mean, we don't even know, like, as far as the Bucks go, how much executive power they hold. Like, we don't know what they're supposed to do.
And then last, the Swerve Strickland, Samoa Joe brawl again. I just thought, because again, I do look at the clock, I go, it's 10:01, boys.
How are we going to have a bunkhouse brawl on Collision?
There's other things added to Collision that we'll get to.
Collision's about to be ridiculous.
When we come back.
I've never. And another creative thing that we've never seen before, a twist on a trope, Swerve Strickland.
You love the word trope today.
I saw a lot of that wrestling masterclass shit. I'm watching wrestling differently now. It's weird, like the same but differently because I'm picking up on more stuff. And you know, normally the babyface will do a nice little crossbody to the group of dudes. Not Swerve Strickland. I'm going to go ahead and stomp you people. It was great.
I love that Joe was like, I'm heading back.
And he just landed and stood up like the badass. That's where Strickland is.
And Joe was all, all right. He was like, you guys have fun.
Later. See you later.
I'll be right here.
See you later.
Be here for moral support. All right.
And I forgot to give shout out to Will Ospreay for yet another thing that you would think more people would do but don't when he rolled up on Claudio. During the swing to counter it, like it's those little things that I love so much about AEW that give you the freedom to do that.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to run those ropes, and let me tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk Roman's WWE hiatus and his substantial creative input into the Bloodline story. We're going to talk about what Tony Khan said regarding hatred between the two major companies. We're going to talk Vincent Kennedy McMahon. We're going to talk the draft, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the Beast incarnate Brock Lesnar. So don't you move a move. We're going to be right back here on To the Turnbuckle, presented by our good friends at Dummy!
Hey, what's up, guys? Superman Onyx here. WrestleFit, one of the newest, baddest workouts out there right now. Now, yes, the word wrestling is in it, but you won't be wrestling. You won't be doing the headlocks or the slams or the spine busters that I do yet. But what you will be doing is everything that we do to get ready to get in the ring, from kettlebell swings to slam balls to flipping tires to hitting tires to doing Olympic weightlifting movements. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. WrestleFit is the way to go. Gives you a little bit of everything. Hope to see you soon. Hey, what's up, guys? Superman Onyx here. Hey, WrestleFit, one of the newest, baddest workouts out there right now. Now, yes, the word wrestling is in it, and I'm providing a wrestling ring, but you won't be wrestling. You won't be doing the headlocks or the slams or the spine busters that I do. Yeah, but what you will be doing is everything that we do to get ready to get in the ring, from kettlebell swings to slam balls to flipping tires to hitting tires to doing Olympic weightlifting movements. Guys, you don't want to miss out on this. Russell Fit is the way to go. Get you a little bit of everything. Hope to see you soon.
Track of the knobs here, sorry. Because I gotta, Travis echoes if I'm not like over here paying attention to him talking, so I gotta turn him up.
Quit messing with my knob. God damn.
Which matches up in front of you?
No, I expected you to do it, but I'll do it.
Oh, okay, because I'm not doing enough.